Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone-Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, an artist, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. We're at the closing show of 2021. Very exciting.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. And you know, in our last show, we were supposed to try to come up with some names that would, you know, we have Amanda Fest for Amanda. For your friend Kathy, did you come up with any?
No, because I suck.
Okay, that's okay, because my daughter right away said we could call her Catherine the Great, which is a good one. Or we could call her, she said, catharsis. Now, I don't know if you know what catharsis means.
I do, but explain to everybody else.
Okay, it's a process of releasing and providing relief from strong or repressed emotions. And I think she's done a lot of that. So we can call her Catherine the Great or catharsis. And both of them, funny enough, start with the C-A-T-H, which, remember, she's Kathy with a C-A, you know, so...
Well, her name is not actually Catherine, it's Katya. So she would have to be Katya the Great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have her Katya the Great. Great?
Katya. It's K-A-S-K. C-A-T-H-I-A. Katya.
Okay. And that's why catharsis would fit her very much, because that's C-A-T-H.
I think catharsis is good. You know what? I think she's on the line, too, so hold on.
Let's see if she likes catharsis, because she's a releasing of all of her past emotions.
I love it.
So,
I love it. I heard it, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's perfect for me.
Okay, and it's so funny because it was my daughter who messaged within a very brief time of that radio show to say, and I said, oh, I think catharsis is great because
– catharsis, I like that.
And that
so
just means that you're releasing anything toxic or bad, and in releasing
you
can manifest what you want. So we're going to call her that, catharsis.
Love it.
Well, good.
That's
because
great.
We like to have names, you know, good names for people that, you know, have done something or changed their life. So, you know, we really appreciate all that you shared last week about how when we were doing the thing, how our radio show has helped. And you know, saying how it's helped change your life was really an important thing. So I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate all of your advice and input and, you know, just the fact that you have this show that we can call into. Like, it's just, it's really, really helped me just really transform my life.
And it's so funny because it's... was meant in the beginning, I'm not sure what we thought it was going to do, but, you know, now what we saw more during COVID is that it was more important than ever to some people just to feel like we have someone we could chat in or call in. And the reason that I think it's so important also is because I'm always so booked, so it's sometimes, you know, a long wait between getting a reading. So I'm always like, well, you could always call into the show. You know, you can change your name. You can change your you know, anything you want, but you could call in. So it's sort of our 911 here, you know, so that's what we
Absolutely.
Feel like we are. Well, we're wishing you a happy new year. Is there anything else you would want to add for Nicole or anyone else before we put on our next caller?
Last week I said trust your gut. This week I want to say if you stand for nothing, you risk falling for everything. So really, like, stand up for yourself. That's what I've learned to do. Just really believe in myself, stand up for myself, because if I don't do that, I'm going to fall for everything that just doesn't work for me.
Exactly. And it's, and we always stress on this show to say what you mean what you say without being mean about it, to do it with righteous anger, which is just the facts. I love you, but you're doing ABCD, so this isn't working, okay? So it's, we have to learn how to say it all along so we don't do what old souls tend to do. They tend to shut up, because they're people pleasers. Shut up, and then they blow up like a lunatic. And then no one listens to anything we say because we look like we're crazy at that point. So it's saying it all along before it builds up too much, saying it sometimes with a sense of humor, but saying it, because we're messengers. That's all I feel my job is. I deliver messages. What people do with them is ultimately up to them. I'm not responsible for what they do. I hope they listen to guidance, but they don't always. So we're sometimes a messenger. After a while, if people don't want to hear those messages, that's when enough is enough happens. And we usually have to leave. Okay, that's like, okay, see you now. Because I'm too tired to keep delivering the same messages over and over again. But I think that's a really important what you said. Nicole, do you agree with that, kind of speaking up and saying what you need to say? It's a good message?
Absolutely. I am not known to be the quiet one.
No, you are not.
I'm not known to be the quiet one. And absolutely, you know, I mean, and here's, I always tell people this, you know, my opinion is not always the most popular one. I don't always expect my opinion to be the most popular one, but I do expect out of the relationships that I hold that although you can feel free to disagree with me, but you still have to give me the respect of being heard. And, I carry that with my friends. I carry that with, you know, with my wife. I carry it with my family, you know. So, you know, for me, it's very, very important to have a voice. It's very, very important to be heard. And like I said, you know, not everybody has to agree with everything that you say, and they don't have to agree with everything that you do. But they have to give you the courtesy and the respect to hear you out and to listen. And that's it. So, you know, I mean, I think that asserting yourself and asserting your opinion and having strong convictions is extremely important. And having people that even if they're just there as a sounding board is just as important.
Right, exactly. And so we're going to go with, you know, speaking our truth. And, of course, I always say pick your crucifixion. No one wants to hear someone that every second's got something to say, okay? So sometimes we just, you know, pick your crucifixions. The little stuff we're going to let slide. Big stuff, big stuff we can, of course. But you know what it's like to be someone where they're kvetching about everything. Yeah, we could kvetch about everything. There's no doubt about it. But nobody wants to hear it. Because then after a while, people turn a deaf ear to you as well. You know, it's like, here she comes. Here she comes.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
I mean, and sometimes on certain topics, even I have to go, please don't get me started.
I know.
That is a can of worms. Please don't get me started.
Well, I always make the joke that my ex-husband's aunt, they were always kvetching about everything, the aunt, okay? And so his mother brought this fresh loaf of rye bread, and her sister says this, "Oi, the bread's too fresh."
Oh, my gosh.
so we want to not do "Oi, the bread's too fresh" things, okay? You know,
let it go.
Okay, so, you know, we want to be people that speak our truth, but also know when it's okay, things are okay. Well, Catharsis, we just love you. And Catharsis kind of sounds like a goddess to me, too. I think that's the thing.
I know, right?
I see that goddess energy going there. So
I love it.
Oh, good. And so we'll tell Shauna or Shayna. She goes by the Hebrew Shayna. I gave her the Arabic Shauna. So she's Shauna, whatever. Tomato, tomato.
Whatever the hell your name is today.
Tomato, tomato. But we'll thank her for that. Well, we're going to try to get a few callers here because we do have a lot of people that have pressed one. So obviously we have some listeners. And I'm hoping that if there are any return listeners, you will do what Catharsis has done. You will tell us if you have listened to the show, what messages, what takeaways you come from it, and that will really help us know what we can continue to do and what we're doing right. Okay. We don't want to hear what we're doing wrong, okay? Please save that for another day.
Well, no, you know what? We have to, you know, it's okay to tell us what we're doing wrong, but you have to give us that. If you're going to tell us what we're doing wrong, you got to at least tell us how we can do it better. So,
right,
it's okay.
Exactly.
So, you know, as long as it's a learning experience and it's not just, hey, you suck without a reason on why you suck, then that's absolutely fine. But all right, Cindy, so we're going to go into our first caller here, and I'm going to go to the person that's been waiting the longest. As always, we never, ever screen our first caller, so I will always identify them by the last four digits of their phone number. This way you know that I'm talking to you. The same goes for the chat room. If you've already pressed one, when I put you into the chat room, you will always be known by your last four digits until at least I screen you. So the person that has been waiting the longest has got the last four digits, 2582. So here we go to see what they have to say. Hello, 2582.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Good. And who is this?
My name is Dominique.
Dominique, oh, we love that name. Dominique, I don't
Thank
think you've
you.
Ever called him before, have you?
I have, actually, a handful of times.
Okay. Dominique, so Dominique, did you learn anything from our show?
I have. I listen on and off for, like, the hour that you guys are on, and it's all mostly about relationships and what to hold on to and what to let go and for you.
That sizes it up about right.
Yeah. And really what's important and what's not. But for every single person, it's different. So
exactly.
Each day, depending on you and your mood that day, you take something different each time you listen.
That's exactly right. But that's very good. So you must have something on your mind to call into our show again. Is there something that's on your mind tonight?
Well, it's just the new year coming up, which is always an interesting thing for everybody. I have been sick with COVID, so I have been quarantined for a little bit. Luckily, I did not get it very bad, but it did come across my whole family, and we are the lucky ones. So it's just sitting here and thinking about what the next year is going to bring and work and how busy work is. So I'm just curious to see with relationship-wise, the new year might bring for me. Or
and interesting that you have COVID at the end of the year, so God kind of slowed you down, gave
right?
you some time
it
to
did.
Start thinking
forced
about
me.
Stuff.
Yeah, it forced me.
I'm glad you're not too sick. How about the rest of your family? How are they doing?
Yeah, we all are hanging in. Compared to what it was, it's definitely not the worst. It's
okay,
like flu-like symptoms. Yeah, a little rundown,
okay.
a little weak.
Okay,
but
no matter
other
what
than that.
No matter what, it's sick. You know,
yes,
wants
exactly.
To be sick. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad that you called in now because money-wise looks very good for you in 2022. Okay, there
mm-hmm.
could be a little bit of changes, but money looks good. You gotta, and it's interesting you asked about money because out of eight cards, you got four money cards. But two of them signify you might be learning a little something different as well
okay.
on the job, but doing very, very well money-wise. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually, you know, interesting because you asked about a New Year reading, and the Ace of Cards, you know, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the tarot, but the Ace cards represent new beginnings. And usually for a New Year reading, people will get one card of the Ace. You got the Ace of Cups, which is peace, love, and joy year.
Okay.
So that's good. It's a good year.
It
represents a good year. And how is your love situation?
Well, I am talking to somebody new. It's just a couple of weeks old. It actually is somebody from work, so that's something I've never dealt with before.
Wow.
So we are a little cautious with that. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with it. But from what it seems like now, it's going in a good direction. I think more cautious than any other person I've dated because of our situation.
Well, probably that's why God had you meet the person at work, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, also, you have COVID, so that slowed it down a bit. But
yes.
the Eight of Cups represents falling in love. So
okay.
that's a good card. And now, I don't know what you do for a living, but at work, is it frowned upon to date fellow workers, or is it okay? Or
rules. For the two of us, not that – so I'm a 911 dispatcher, and he's a cop. So we don't work, like, literally together. We don't see each other. But I'm the one talking to him, like, 3 days out of the week. Like, I'm his dispatcher.
Okay, so you don't technically really, really but so is this okay within what you do for a living?
Yeah, I mean, nobody really would know unless I brought it up. Like I said, it hasn't been anything I've done before, so I am a little cautious about it. Not that I'm totally against it, because the first night we did meet, we totally kicked it off, and it was like the old way of meeting. It was no online dating, which was really nice, and you just like you get to know them within an hour of like their personality, the type of person they are, and everything else. So, like, that was really cool to have that.
Right. And also remember, old souls, all they do is work. So how are you going to really meet somebody? I mean, it's kind of crazy the way it's a climate that you're not supposed to really meet at work, but that's where people often meet. And I would say that, you know, pursue it. He looks like a nice guy here, actually. Okay. Like hardworking. And he really cares about his job. I don't know if you got that from him, but it looks to me like he really cares. He wants to help people.
Okay.
Takes seriously. You know, he seems to have been, you know, impressed with you, like when he met you, you know. You know, you have a lot of the traits that he's looking for in a person. So I'm glad that you're taking it just a little slow, because that it's good. Take it a little slow.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy. You know, he he's a very hardworking guy.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing any negatives on him, okay? I know it's kind of new to him. I don't usually like to read people that soon into a relationship, but I will tell you, he looks like a good guy, okay?
Okay.
Now, I would advise you, because you're starting a new relationship, that after 3 or 4 dates, you have to put your cards on the table and let him know what you want. You know, do you want to... you know, have a relationship? Is that what you're looking for?
It is, yes.
Okay, so I would say to let him know that sooner than later, because, you know, some people, you know, aren't looking for a relationship. Like, so after 3 dates, you have to ask him, look, I don't really date people that are dating other people. I don't want drama. I don't want disease. So, you know, if you want to see me, you have to see only me. I would put that on out there. It doesn't mean you have to get a prenup. You're not asking him to marry you, but let's just see if we can commit for a brief period of time. You know, if people have commitment issues, they may, you know, they could run at that point. He looks a little scared of love, a tad bit here. So, you know, maybe bringing that up when you feel like, if you feel like you want it to get to the next level. You don't bring it up if you don't want it to go to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, it actually was brought up a little bit already.
Good.
And that's where we both spoke about the only hesitation is because we work together.
Right. And I see that it's unusual because there's only 3 cards in tarot about turning your back on love. And when you just mentioned that, 3 of those cards came up in a row. So both of you might be, you actually got the 4th card on it too, which is, it's a little bit, that also represents that you two might get scared and almost end this because of the work situation. So I would say, you know, maybe have the talk that, look, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll just end it without drama and trauma. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You know, after 3 months, we'll know this, okay? All love looks about the same the first 3 months. Around the 3-month mark, you'll know if this is going anywhere. At that point, if it's going to go somewhere, I don't think that should be an issue. You're in a relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's only if it doesn't work out. You know, just in this stage, hashtag me too. People get nervous. Like, what if she says I hit on her? What if I? So I could see there's a little fear that way going. But, again, talking about it and saying, let's see what's here. And, you know, if it's meant to be, then it's meant to be. If it's not, then you'll end it. But I almost see that the alignment of cards, it's not just him that might get scared and walk away from this. It could be you, okay?
Okay.
Because of work. So it's not a crime to fall in love, okay?
Yeah.
And if it becomes a real relationship, you know, this isn't going to stop just because you work together. But, you know, both of you might decide before we get there, let's say we should just, like, not go there. But that looks like a stupid move here. So I'm just kind of telling you that.
It's all good to know.
You know, how are people going to meet? They used to traditionally meet at work. That's the way it goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't legislate morality. You can't tell people who to fall in love with or not fall in love with. And, you know, it's nice that you guys acted on it, you saw. So I would just continue to take it a little bit slow, but talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
You also got the Ace of Swords card, which is a year of health, which I think you, in the middle of having COVID, is glad to hear. Well, good. Your health is going to be good. Okay, so I think it's because you have COVID right now. We're like, okay,
so good,
this doesn't look like long haul COVID. Okay, this looks like you'll get through it very quickly. So, now, how has he been to you during COVID? Is he texting you or asking you how you are or anything?
Yeah, no, very attentive, checking in every day. So,
I like that. I mean, that's a good sign, right? I like that. He looks like a good guy. And again, if you two of you put some ground rules, which look, let's give it our, you know, all and try. If it doesn't work out, we just end it without drama and trauma. I wouldn't even bring it forth to anyone until you're sure it's a relationship. You know, why bother?
Exactly,
You know, and then if it does become a relationship, you've got nothing to hide or worry about. You know, nothing looks bad in your cards, and I'm glad you met him kind of organically. That's nice. But did he just hear your voice and like you? Is that what we heard?
We actually went to a Christmas party, and I met all of the cops that I talk to all the time. So it was just being introduced that way from one girl that I went to elementary school with. She's actually one of the cops. And then she's like, oh, come to the Christmas party. So I did, and I just was introduced to a ton of people, and he was one of them. And we just Yeah.
Wow. Yep. So maybe this could be your Christmas gift, you know? So, again, that sounds great. And, you know, enjoy, have fun, but he looks like a good guy, you know?
Great.
And the only thing I see, there is always obstacles to overcome with soulmates. And this is somewhat of an obstacle to overcome. Again, doesn't have to be one if you don't make it one. And I think it's more coming from men being scared. Look how many men lose their jobs for, like, you know, asking a woman out and it's just, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, it's a really bad climate for love, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
I don't think it's a crime.
Somebody,
I don't think it's a crime someone asks you out. You know what I mean? Like, you just say no. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep.
But it looks good. Good year ahead for you. Can you do us a favor and call in again and let us know how this progresses? Because this is great.
Of course.
And remember, 2022 is supposed to be a year of, you know, love, peace, and joy. God wanted all the toxic relationships to sort of end 2021 and 2020. And let's have soulmate love in 2022. So I think it's interesting you met it at the end of 2021. Now we're getting into 2022. Do you guys have plans to see each other when you get better? Have you said that?
Yeah, next week. Yeah, we were just planning a dinner, hopefully next week, because I should be out of this quarantine by Monday. So.
Okay, good. And so how did you catch this COVID? From who? Who is the person who brought it around?
That's the thing. I don't really know, honestly. It started with my brother-in-law got it last Wednesday. Then my mother got it, then I got it, then my father got it, and now my nieces have it. So it had to have been one of them, but we didn't get to celebrate Christmas, so that's been postponed another week. It was just literally in passing.
Oh, wow. I know. It seems I've known more people with COVID now than through the whole
thing. When it was really, really bad. Same thing with me, and it's just so contagious. I feel like this variant is more contagious than all the others.
Yeah, it's more contagious, but it's mutating downwards, what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Viruses by nature want to exist. If they keep killing the host, how's the virus going to live if it kills everybody?
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, the virus wants to live, and it lives by mutating downwards so it can coexist with the host, you know? So ultimately, maybe this is a good sign that it's going downwards. But I'm glad you're not too sick. You know, Nicole had COVID not too long ago, and I believe she's recovered now. So we've heard a lot of this.
Yes.
Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens.
Thank you so much. Have a happy new year.
You too. Bye.
Happy new year.
We call 911. We'll make sure we get you.
Yeah. You never know.
I've never called 911 in my whole life. I hope I get through life without ever having to call 911. Thank you. You know. So.
Yeah, right.
It's one of those things. I've never been in the hospital. I've never been hospitalized. Let's see if we can keep that going, you know.
Yes, seriously. That's a good trend.
That's a good trend, right? Well,
absolutely.
Nicole, you're all recovered from COVID, right?
Yes.
Good. And Lisa too?
Yeah. We're pretty much there. I still have like a touch of asthma since COVID, but that's about it. And I'm using the inhaler less and less now, so that's good. And Lisa was an asthmatic prior to getting COVID, so she's status quo. So, yeah, we're both, she's back at the gym fully. I'm getting there. So we're both pretty, you know, good. I developed asthma, you know, about 2 weeks after I got rid of COVID. And I was using the inhaler
every day. Did you ever have COVID before that? I mean, did you ever have asthma before that?
When I was a kid, I had asthma, and then I kind of outgrew it. And then all of a sudden I got asthma, you know, afterwards. So like I had this chronic wheeze that didn't go away after COVID. So I went back to my, doctor, and then I went to an allergist, and both the doctor and the allergist said basically in a nutshell that A, my lungs were weakened by the COVID. So I had to use like, you know, that little like breathy thing with the balls in it. Where you have to control your breath. I had to kind of expand my lungs using that a little bit. So I have one of those for the house now. And after that, what they said was that I don't have asthma, but that my lungs were having an asthmatic reaction. So basically from being virtually, you know, in the house for almost a year, you know, all of the little immunities and antibodies and things that I had, you know, developed, you know, just, I guess, immunities to, you know, that now everything was an irritant because I hadn't been exposed to them in so long. So I have to build those back up, and now I'm getting a lot more fresh air than I did in 2020, and I'm making sure that I'm out of the house, and I'm working out of the house again. So the more I'm out, the better off I am. So like I said, I was using, right after COVID, I was using the inhaler, you know, every day, multiple times a day. And now I go maybe every 2 days before I need to use it again. So it's definitely clearing up.
Oh, good. So, you know, it could be weird. We don't know why it triggers something or whatever. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Wow. Well,
and what's funny is that I got that, and I didn't even, like, I never got the respiratory symptom during COVID. You know, like, it felt like a cold. It felt like the flu. I had super bad body aches. Oh, my God, they were, like, the worst. But I didn't get the cough, ironically enough. But yet when, you know, post-COVID, I developed the cough as an after effect of having COVID, not as one of the main symptoms while I had it. So, but like I said, it's clearing
it's
up. That was
odd.
Thing.
It's a very odd thing, COVID. You know.
Oh yeah.
You know,
but
you never know.
I had it in the middle of September, and then I got diagnosed with this asthma reaction, whatever it is, the second week of October, and you know now I'm in December. And like I said, you know, like rather we're going into January in a couple of days, and I'm already at the point where I don't need the inhaler every day, which is good. So,
okay,
I'm happy with that progress.
Yep, that's very good news. You know, so now you've been screening some people. Okay,
I have.
All right.
I have. So next we have Jimmy, and for those of you that were with us last week, Jimmy called in last week, and he was actually just calling in to listen in, Cindy, but then his grandfather said, you need to press one. So guess what? Jimmy pressed one, and I'm going to let him tell you the rest. So here we go, out to Jimmy.
Okay.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy.
You're on the air.
How's my favorite guy? How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm pretty good.
Okay, Jimmy is a really nice guy, by the way. Very smart, very intelligent. And so I'm curious why your grandpa might have said, press. Maybe he just wants to wish me Happy New Year. I don't know. Let's see. Is there anything you think you want?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like I said, I was just trying to listen in, and he's like telling me to press the button, and then and on top of that, then it's coming to me to tell you guys about the COVID booster and to not take it. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll say that, but I can't.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk anything like that on this show, okay? Because they will shut it down just like they shut down YouTube. So we don't talk about what people get vaccinated or not vaccinated. You know, that's outside of, that's outside. I don't practice medicine without a license on the show. That does not go over very big. So I'm pretty sure that pretty much your grandfather also is one of your main spirit guides, and he watches over you a lot. Do you feel him close to you and around?
As far as I know, he's not just the spirit guide. He's like my guardian angel, but, you know.
Yep. He's around all the time. He's around all the time. And, you know, and of course, have you dreamed about him at all? Because he's trying to, like, come to you in your dream plane. Have you seen that? At all? Have you seen him in your dream plane?
No. If I have, I don't remember it. If you're telling me that, then obviously he is.
Because he likes, I think you're not always remembering them, but he promises to give you a pretty clear sign in your dreams. And, you know, you're very psychic yourself. He's going to also help you with your job search. How is that going? Because I saw you getting a job pretty soon.
Trying to deal with a financial situation which you are already aware of. Prior to moving back to New York and getting that, you know, and solidifying myself there, I'm trying to get a job back in New York. There's this one company that I am like ecstatic about, but the problem is that there's other stuff going on where I am currently, and I'm kind of concerned that when they do reach out to me to hire me, that there might be some kind of conflict. Not in concern with the job, but in concern with other matters that are going on.
Okay. I would say ask your grandpa to help you with that, please.
Okay.
Because that's his job. Okay. And
Grandpa,
you know,
please help me with that.
Right. No, it's actually great. You know, I would say keep asking him for help. It does look like you might be moving back to New York. There's a pretty big move card here. Do you want to be coming back to New York, or do you want to be working remotely? Is that possible?
I do not want to be here where I am. It's a big no-no. It's a very I know why I was okay with coming down here, but I quickly realized within like 2 weeks, like, that was a big no-no.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we're just going to hang on to the fact that, you know, better things are in store for you. So, call in again and let us know. We're going to see if we can get some other listeners. We will try not to disconnect you. I know last week you got disconnected. That was very weird. It should just disconnect it all by itself. So I'm not going to touch anything. I'll let maybe Nicole touch it because I tend to disconnect.
It disconnected by itself last time?
Yeah, just disconnected by itself.
Oh.
Like that was odd and weird. So I try not to go near things. You know.
I know the music went on by itself.
Yeah, we have, you know, things go pretty funky here. And, you know, so keep us posted, and we're going to try to get a few more callers. And Happy New Year to you, Jimmy.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Bye. Okay, Nicole. Who else have you screened, and what else should we be thinking? Let me see. Is Nicole in the chat room? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
I am here. Yes, actually.
Now you said we got no
answer
from someone.
Yeah, there was no answer on one of the lines there, and we had one more person press one, but I haven't screened them yet, and we also have Debbie Tony on the line. So if you want to jump into Debbie Tony, I can go in and I could try to rescreen the people that didn't answer and see if somebody wants to fess up.
Okay, and the 651-4757, I know she had, you'll know who she is when you pick up. We'll put her through too, okay? So screen her, and then we'll pick up Debbie Tony and see what she has to say.
Yes, ma'am. So here we go. Hello, Debbie Tony.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So you're busy getting ready for your big move going, you know.
You are.
Wow. So tell me what's on your mind tonight. And also, well, you were so sweet when you told us what you learned from our show last week. So we appreciate that.
So I'm going to go with that theme because the first caller talked about speaking up. And I just had to redo chapter 4, which dealt with
my
the mother speaking up, yes, in your book. And I had to redo that chapter. And the big lesson in that chapter, in that section, was about speaking up.
Wow.
So I found that very interesting because I just redid that chapter last night, and that was your first caller today, what she had learned.
Wow.
And what
and
I
that
feel,
was in,
that was
you know,
chapter 4, part 1.
Right. And also, that's in from Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic. So, yeah, interesting. Maybe you just didn't learn that lesson enough, so the universe made you have to redo the chapter.
That's what I'm thinking, why I have to redo those certain chapters. Because, like, I didn't screw up the whole book. I only screwed up certain chapters. So I'm taking that as I have to redo them, and I'm doing a better reading the second time. I mean, I cut minutes off the chapter. But I was slow and methodical, so we don't know how we did that. So, again, I'm going to tell you what my big learning is for 2021, and that is to look for the miracles every single day because they're happening all day long.
Yes, they are. They're always here. They're always
I just got chills.
There's little miracles and big miracles and all kinds of miracles. So I love that. We're going to look for the little miracles. And sometimes a little miracle, is just, you know, someone brings you a nice little snack to eat. You know, it's not huge miracles. You know, someone says a kind word to you. Miracles in the course in the book, The Course in Miracles, are just like is this love, all the little things that happen in love. So we want to just make sure that we help make little miracles happen every day and all the time. And, you know, even, you know, Dominique, who called in and, you know, she's feeling better from COVID, the same time someone messaged me, they all had COVID and they're all feeling better. Like, these are miracles, you know. Those are like
absolutely
hearing that people are getting better. And interesting, when you were saying you had to redo something in the book, you know, I had already written a radio play, My Struggle, which is about 100-year-old Holocaust survivor. And now I'm turning it into a play, and I was working on the part where the doctor's name is Dr. Casper, who the character, and he knows Freud, Dr. Freud. And the two of them are talking about how, you know, in 1938, how they're, you know, they should really be leaving Austria. And, you know, Freud's about ready to leave, and how they're talking about how the Jews are disappearing or killing themselves. And all of a sudden, my computer, my laptop, began to eat the manuscript, okay?
Oh, my God.
And they were talking about how they, you know, Freud was afraid he was going to lose all his artwork, and they were afraid for their families, and, you know, all this horrible thing that was happening, and it just kept eating the manuscript, like, just in this bizarre fashion, until there was no manuscript left at all.
I'm getting chills.
And I went, oh, my God. I didn't know what to do because I said, okay, it's in the cloud, so I'm not sure what happened here. And I didn't know what,
wow.
So I went to my other computer, and I saw that the manuscript was fine. And I made a copy of it in case for some reason that was so corrupted it was going to eat it out of the cloud. And then I said, okay, let me just shut down the computer and turn it back on. And when I went to find the file, it said it's been deleted or it doesn't exist. And I thought, is that how
people must have felt during World War II that they were depleted. They didn't exist. Everything they worked for was taken from them. And I had this profound feeling how they must have felt at that moment in time. And then I reshut the computer again, and then it all came back. But it was an experience that was so horrifying to me, because I said, if this whole thing is lost, it's just, because when you have it in the cloud, you know, you're hoping that it's going to not disappear somehow. But I don't know why it did that. I have no explanation for why it did it, other than I have a feeling they wanted me to experience what it is to lose something you've worked so hard at and not know if it's going to come back or not know what's going to happen. So I think we have these experiences when we're writing with electronics. They're kind of interesting what they do. So, and I would have totally panicked out had I not had another computer to look at and see, okay, it's still in that computer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what this one's doing, but that one's okay. Now, it's been fine. The computer's been fine. But it was really, but it didn't just delete it. It was, I just was watching it systematically eat paragraph after paragraph. And then it was gone. But that was my experience. So I think I was really channeling Freud that day. I must have been, because, I think only he would have made that happen. So that's my experience with writing. So you might see, you know, when you're doing this book and you're doing things and when you read things and you're writing, expect the universe to somehow. So I think they wanted me to write that part stronger. What it must have really, I think I hadn't written it strong enough, how horrified they were to lose everything. And then I knew to go back and write it more forcefully. So I think that was
I agree. I was thinking that maybe they didn't like my first reading of it. And they were like, you have to redo that.
No, they just said, they said, you just really didn't capture how horrifying it was. Okay. Like, get back there and capture what it really feels like to lose everything that you've worked for, everything that you've owned, and maybe every person you love. Okay, so that was kind of okay. I got that feeling and that feeling in my whole body. So I went back and redid it. So they didn't do it again, so I think they like what I did. So I hope don't need any more of my manuscripts, because it's scary.
Well, you did tell me that by reading the book, I would be getting more psychic, and psychic things would happen, and all that is happening. So I've learned that from you also, because I'm very connected now, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah, and I would say anyone who reads Confessions of Reluctant Lion Psychic, expect that it will open that Pandora's box to psychic ability, and they will try to prove, spirit, the truth of what you're reading within a day or two, or give you a, you know, a similar experience. So, and I do love that your positive message is miracles, because that is also a message in the book, that spirit is always there ready to help us. They're always there, you know, and the miracles, again, are not always, and, you know, the times I've prayed for a miracle in my life at first felt like a pretty cosmic kick in the ass. Didn't feel like a miracle at first, okay, because it made me dismantle my whole life. But the point is, when you pray for a miracle or ask for a miracle, you know, fasten your seatbelt sometimes too, because they can be overwhelming.
Well, I'm asking for my life lessons, so life lessons are tough.
Oh, yeah. If you ask for life lessons, like, I began to ask, you know, for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And when you start doing that, the universe really does open your eyes and open you to spirit. So anyone who's ready to open to spirit, there couldn't be a better year than 2022. So let's get into that. And, you know, we're interesting enough, we have Christiana, who's going to ask us questions. She's going to be our next listener. You know, what should she be doing? What is her purpose? Why is she here?
Okay.
And, you know, before I even talk to her, I'm going to kind of say, everyone's looking for someone to give them those answers. And those answers only come from within you. No one can give you those answers. No one could no one could tell you what your purpose is. No one could tell you why you're exactly here. We can all know we're here to learn lessons, and you just said you know you're here to learn lessons. So we're all here to learn lessons, you know, and, you know, some of those lessons are forgiveness. Some of those lessons are be tougher with people. But, you know, if there's one lesson that you think you could tell us that you learned this year, Debbie, besides miracles, did you learn something else too? Did you learn to believe in yourself? Because that's what I'm going to throw out to you, that this was a year that the universe wanted Debbie Toti to believe in Debbie Toti. Okay, so to believe in her and, you know, in everything that she does. You know, so.
You got me.
Okay, so that's, you know, our mantra, I think, is going to be believe in miracles and just believe, you know, but that was really what you should have gotten. And, you know, you've been learning how to do the ACX, the audible. Anyone who's ever tried, you know, if you ever want to go through a nightmare, try to do an audible book because they are really difficult. It's really technical. I had warned Debbie, oh, you're not going to finish this so soon. I told her, oh, no.
Right.
Okay, it is hard. Okay, and yet she's, you know, plugging through there. And you're getting an experience of what it is to write a book because that's what it's like to rewrite a book. You write it, and then you realize it's not right, and you got to go back and do it again. Sometimes you realize you went in the whole wrong direction. So, you know, you got to give Debbie, you know, credit for doing this because when she's done with this, she will have mastered the art of making an audible book. But, you know, everybody thinks you just sit there and you talk. You just read. No, it's so technical. And that if you're off one tiny bit, Audible will just say, not acceptable, redo the chapter, you know. So it is a little bit of a nightmare, you know, for those, just so you know, for everybody out there. It's a
nightmare. We're getting it done. We're building
So let me see if we can get Christiana on now, so she can be probably, you know, we can give her a little more information about her purpose. And, you know, thank you for calling in, Miss Debbie Toti.
I love you. Thank
you. I love
you
too. Happy New Year.
Okay. Have a great one.
Okay. So let's see. Okay. Nicole, you know, I kind of said
what
Christiana, but you can kind of say it again. And did you hear what I said about that, that no one could tell us what our purpose is on? Nobody can tell us what our mission is, unfortunately. We want someone to just – it's just like, wouldn't it be nice if we were born and we came with this note that we gave our mothers, this one needs to learn to be less selfish. This one needs to learn to be this. This one – if they gave us a list, okay, that would be
easier.
Yeah,
right?
But – you know, it's like, let's talk about you and on our way to Christiana. You had to find your purpose, and it's taken you a while to find your way to that. Part of your purpose is to be an artist.
Well, you know what I mean? People got to realize that there's, here's the thing, everybody's always looking for their purpose, not their purpose sets. You know, like I think, I mean, personally, I believe that there's multiple purposes that we need to realize, you know, throughout our lifetime, and there's a constant learning curve. There's a constant evolution there, you know. So, and I think that once you it's almost kind of like a graduation, you know, once you realize one purpose, you move on to the next and the next and the next. And sometimes, you know, when you miss the mark on something that you thought was your purpose, it's really leading you into something else. You know, so, you know,
exactly.
I know that earlier, you know, I mean, there's that evolution there, you know, and like, I know that very, like, early on, like around the time, like my purpose has changed since I've met you, since we started doing the show. I mean, I tell people all the time, if you go back into the archives, you know, you could literally hear the anger just coming off of me when we first started the show, you know, and you could hear that bitterness that I had, even in the advice that I was giving, you know, I mean, my whole perspective, it was coming from a very, very negative place. And, you know, for me, I had to learn, you know, to let go of that anger, you know, and I had to learn how to stop infecting people with my anger, you know, and you were instrumental in that. And then once I learned that lesson, it moved me on to the next thing. And, you know, now I think I'm a better guide for people. I think that I'm, you know, I'm more creative as a result of being able to just lose that negative lens and you know, and moving forward in a more positive way. And it's just opened up so many more doors that otherwise would have remained closed.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. We do have more than one purpose, okay? And ultimately, like you said, I could trace everything that I learned how to do, how it brought me to now, okay? I had to learn it all. I had to take all those paths. And sometimes we just have to try things to find out our purpose. We have to try it, see if it works. If it doesn't work, or, you know, even if you do it for 10 years, and you then don't want to do it anymore, try something else. So let's put Christiana on. I want you to be on this call because I want you to see if you can add anything to her. But let's put her on and let's have her think if she has come up with any ideas for herself, and maybe we can guide her if some of those are the right path to take.
Absolutely. Hello, Christiana. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay, so, you know, you've been struggling with this question, and I'm not surprised as we're going into 2022, because God wants people to really be on their path, really on their purpose and finding their purpose. And, you know, I know you have your own psychic ability and all of that, but do you have any concept or any feelings what you're supposed to be doing, what your purpose is?
Well, right at the moment, I was thinking art and maybe trying to sell some of it at Market Fest in Minnesota during the summer. But I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to judge myself, but I do lack some certain skill for it. So I'm not really sure if people will purchase
it. Well, can
it.
You take some art classes and can you just try? That's why I wanted Nicole on this, because what I saw when I pulled the cards was some art for you, is where you can begin to, you know, every time you write or create art, you're channeling and more information comes. So that's what I saw, art for you. But Nicole, how did you feel when you were doing your art, at first? Did you think you needed to learn more?
Well, art is something that I always did. And I, same thing. I never, ever thought that I was good enough, you know, to be an artist or to sell art. And quite honestly, I probably would have kept that mode of thinking because, I mean, you know, Cindy, as artists, we're the most critical on ourselves, you know. And if it was not for my wife, against my will, booking a show for me, I probably would have never, ever jumped into it the way that I did, you know. So it's completely natural for you to second guess, you know, and you don't need a lot of the technical. If you want to learn to expand your horizons, then there's very, very good, you know, inexpensive resources that you can go to. You know, during COVID, I spoke very, very highly of things like Udemy and Skillshare, and there's a lot of great information on there if you want to expand that. But otherwise, you know, your art is your art. So, you know, you could always, you know, start out small. You don't necessarily have to go to one of the larger, you know, festivals where, you know, where you need a ton of inventory. Start small online, see the kind of things that people are looking for in your area, and then start to build up your portfolio over time. And then, you know, by the time that, you know, summer hits, you'll know exactly what you'll be able to do.
Wow. That's great advice. And again, you know, I always will tell people, create art for art's sake. Don't worry about where it's going to go or what it's going to do. I've always just written for the sake of creating that art. And, you know, you get better with time. Also, there are certain things people create when they're newer to art that it's just amazing because they're new to it. You know, it's just an amazing.
And the whole thing is that you're never, ever going to know what you're going to create.
Right.
To be perfectly honest with you, I never know what it is I'm going to create. Every one of my canvases has got a different underpainting. Because what happens is I start a piece because I want to create it, and then something switches along the way where I will just paint over that canvas and do something completely different. You know, so, and this is literally every single piece I've done has a different underpainting. You know, and that's just because that's just my process. I start on something and then something will click along the way and I'll just go into a different direction. And I mean, I've created things that my wife gets mad at me for painting over or for destroying. And she'll be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, it wasn't right. It wasn't what I was meant to do. This is what I was meant to do. You know, and I've spent weeks on a piece just to paint over it, you know, so that happens. And that's, you know, that's part of my process. I know other artists that they just know. And then other artists are just kind of like, well, you know, that I know were also kind of like, yeah, I kind of do that too. You know, I always go over something, you know, and some people deviate a lot and some people just go in a completely different direction. You know, your process is your process. And the more you do it, you know, the more it's going to click in, and you'll figure out what your process is, and you'll get more comfortable with it, you know. But you have to do it in order to figure out what that process is.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I have been doing it almost every day for like a month.
Okay, good. And keep doing it. And again, you know, sometimes just following the leads wherever they come from or wherever they're going will, you know, really help us. So I would say only you are going to know what your calling is, and, you know, no one else is going to be able to tell you what your purpose is. You know, that's something we have to all discover for ourselves. But just the fact that you ask, and the reason I wanted you to call on the show and ask, just the fact that you're asking, the universe is hearing, they go, okay, she wants to know what her mission is, her life purpose is. Okay, great, now we can guide her. So, you know, in the mere asking of the question, answers will come to you. So the question is good. And we should always evaluate ourselves. And remember, we have more than one mission. We have more than one purpose. And, you know, all roads lead us there. And there's no better way to find out what your mission on earth is than to start to try to create things. You know, even journaling helps a lot. You know, really helps
yeah.
a lot. Well, you know,
yeah,
thanks for that, because I think that was a good, you know, sort of a good, you know, thing to discuss. What is our purpose? Why are we here? And, you know, we're mostly here to, we're here to love, work, serve, okay? So what are you doing that's loving? What are you doing that's work-oriented? And what are you doing to serve others? So
well,
that's usually...
I might get a job at JCPenney at the fine jewelry.
Well, that would be, wouldn't that be nice? Because you'd be helping someone buy a gift, which will make
mm-hmm.
people happy. So all of this is let's work, let's serve, let's love. And all work is, you know, important. All work is, you know, labors of love. And so I would say, you know, just keep saying, what can I do for work, to love, and to serve? And you'll find your way. So I'm, you know, really glad that, you know, you called in with your question, because it is really an important question, and it shows that you're really thinking. And, you know, it's a good way to kind of end the year. I know that Kimmy, had this other client, had wanted to call in, but she just called in now, and it's too late for us to put her through because we're going to be cut off in blog talk in like 2 minutes, so I'm not going to bother to put her through. Anytime if you want to talk, like try to go to the show toward the beginning of the show, people, because after that it becomes like impossible, you know, to even put people through. Now, Nicole, do you
Thank
have anything
you
to
both.
Add to Christiana at all, to what she might do to, you know, find her way?
Well, yeah, like I said, you know, just I what I would do is, and what I did do is, you know, look online, you know, see what mediums, you know, you're the most comfortable with, try different things, you know, be a part of some different artist groups. You know, put your stuff out there, see what, you know, what people are saying about it, you know, ask for constructive criticism. Some of the best pieces, and actually one of the pieces that sold, you know, recently, you know, it was literally, I was kind of falling flat on it. And I just put it into one of the groups that I'm a part of. And I said, hey guys, listen, I'm like, something's missing. Don't know what it is, you know, taking all suggestions. And I had a bunch of people just, you know, shoot me over some constructive criticism. And guess what? I applied some of the things that they told me, and, you know, and it made it better. And, you know, as a direct result, the piece wound up selling. So, you know, you could also do things like that, especially if you're unsure of yourself. Or sometimes you just put something out there that you're happy with and just say, hey guys, you know what, I'm needing a little bit of encouragement today. And, you know, and as long as you're in the right groups and you're surrounded by a good group of people that, you know, that really, really believe in creating art for art's sake, you know, you'll get people that'll tell you, hey, listen, you know, hang in there. Hey, listen, you know what, you're doing great. And they'll give you those words of encouragement so that you can continue doing it and becoming better and better, you know, just through overall application.
Well, exactly. Okay. Well, we're going to end our year on a high note with, you know, wishing everyone a happy, happy new year. And we'll speak next week, and wishing everyone a safe and happy new year. And, you know, please try to practice a little protocols right now, because the COVID is a little over the top right now. So
yes.
I want everyone
yes.
to stay safe and well, please. You know, so, you know, do what you got to do. Okay, it's not that hard. Okay, you know, it's not that hard. Okay, so
live
good night,
life,
everybody.
Just be careful.
Just be careful. Okay, come on, just be careful. And you know, good night,
and
everyone.
Cindy, yes. As always, Cindy, wonderful job this year. Looking forward to an even better 2022. And thank you for all you do for myself and everybody that listens to our show. And God bless everybody out there that sticks with us every week. So, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Bye.